What I was going to do tonight, I was going to talk about something that I think is important in the life of the believer. And I believe that it is something that God, you know, we've been talking about some of the attributes of the Holy Spirit in the fruit of the Spirit. And we've, you know, this is just another area that I think that that maybe we need to think about for just a few moments tonight, and our time is short. And that's availability. Have you ever really thought about availability? I mean, you know, when you need a doctor, you hope he's open and available. If you've got a tooth that's really bothering you, you know, you can't wait until the dentist looks at it and tells you how he's going to stop the pain, you know, and get you fixed up. If the car shuts down in the road, you call the mechanic and you hope he answers and will come with a wrecker and pick up your car and get it fixed yesterday. Why? Because you need it today. You know, I mean, these are things, and we hope people like that will be available. When children go to school, they look forward to seeing the teacher, because the teacher that is the one that's there to help them in another day of studies. And then, of course, when we go to church, we hope the pastor is going to be well and he'll be there to preach. Now, you've been lucky these last 6 months. Yeah, because I've been healthy enough to be here, you know, not every service, but almost every service. And I wasn't away because I was sick. I was away because I was preaching somewhere else. So we've been very fortunate. And you like that. You like for things to be available in your time of need. And we know that our God has this characteristic. We know that He's built that way. In Psalm 145, verses 8 and 9, the Bible says, notice what it says, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works." Showing that God is on call, and God is ready to do what needs to be done. That is the way God is. Now there's, you might say, well, what does availability really mean? Well, it means as a Christian to place oneself totally, absolutely, completely at God's disposal. You really understand what I just said? The song, "I Surrender All," comes to mind. And the reason we need to be available is because God can do anything at any time with us as He so chooses. Maybe the reason He's not doing what He would like to do with us is because we're not available. There are many Christians who are prepared, but they're not available to God. It's kind of like the lady looks and sees an ad for someone to come in and to help clean the house. And when the person answers the phone and you call about it, they say, "Well, I just want you to know I don't do floors. I don't do windows. I don't take out the trash. I don't sweep the floor." Well, then you're wondering, well, what are you available to do? I mean, you know, I was looking for somebody to do a real good job, you know. Availability means that there is a sense of preparedness and readiness. And when a person is willing to be used, there is no limit to what God can do through that person if they're really available. Since it's easier to demonstrate this characteristic, I'd like for us to note some examples that we have in the Word of God. You know, the Word of God does a better job of telling you what you need to know than I could. You know, I'm not smart. I have to study pretty hard to see the Word of God and get the message out of it. And so, here's some things that I've gotten. And when God knocks at the door of your heart, will it be available? And will you say, come in, or I'm ready to go out? I mean, are you really available? I know how children are. Children tend to, if they're busy, they don't want to be disturbed. But if mom says, I need help washing the dishes, well, you know, right now I was looking at my cell phone. That means the child wasn't available. Your wife may have asked you to rub her back last night, but you didn't do it. Or vice versa. Okay? Let's look at some examples. You know, there's a lot of things we could say, but our time won't allow us to say a whole lot here, and I'm just going to kind of introduce this to you. I'd like for you to look at Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. And notice what it says in verse number 1. It says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham? And he said, behold, here I am. Did you hear what he said? Behold, here I am. In verse 2, and he said, take now thy son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now, to build a fire and then be asked to put your son on it, now that's pretty... You know what I'm saying? I'm sure there's some fathers here that would think twice. But what did he say? Well, in verse 1 he said, behold, here I am. And then after he heard what he wanted him to do, notice in verse 11, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. Both times Abraham was saying, here am I, ready to do God's will. But I want you to notice the result of his doing the will of God. If you look there in Genesis 22, verses 16 to 18, it says, and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Do you really understand what that's saying? That's saying, because Abraham was obedient to the Lord, and when he called him, he said, here am I. All the nations of the world were blessed because he followed through and was available to do what God wanted him to do. And we're blessed today. Because back in Genesis chapter 12, just a few chapters back in Genesis, we have the Abrahamic covenant. And here is a passage that is amplifying that, as well as others before you get to this one. I want you to just think of the blessings we can experience, as well as others will experience, if we would be willing to do God's will in our lives. Your wife may be blessed. Your husband may be blessed. Your children may be blessed. Your neighbors may be blessed. Your work associates may be blessed. You see, we don't live in isolation. We're not an island to ourselves. And where we're obedient to God, and when we're ready to do God's will, whatever it is, others are blessed as well as ourselves. Turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter 31. Genesis chapter 31. In verse number 11, notice what it says here, Genesis 31. And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob? And I said, Here am I. And he said, Lift up now thine eyes and see all the rams which leap upon the cattle are ring-straked, speckled, and grizzled. For I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. And I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowedest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. Now, in this passage, we saw Abraham ready to do the will of God. Here we see Jacob ready to walk with God. Jacob is ready to walk with God. He walked with God all of his life. In Genesis chapter 46, verse 2, it says, And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night, and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here am I. When God called, Jacob said, Here am I. And he walked with God. In this passage right here, he said, I want you to go to Bethel. Later down, he said, I want you to go to Egypt. So, if we're listening to the Lord, and we're obedient to the Lord, and we're available to the Lord, then we can walk in the will of God, and we can walk with God. Turn, if you would, to Exodus chapter number 3. A lot more could be said about this, but I think you'll get the gist of what I'm trying to say. In Exodus chapter 3, I want you to notice verses 4 to 6. It says, And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And when he saw the bush burning, Moses looked, and when he got closer, he said, Pull your shoes off. You're on holy ground. You're in the presence of God Himself. And he was ready to worship God. You know, he worshiped God with his face on the ground. He walked on holy ground. Worship is meeting with God. When God calls out to you each day, do you meet with Him for a little while? or you'd feel like you got too much to do and that's not one of the most important things to do. Well, really, it's probably the most important thing you could do in your life is meet every day with God and make sure you get something from His Word and get some direction from Him and some encouragement. And we need it, you see. We need to be ready to worship God in our life. And Moses was ready to worship when he met with God at the burning bush. Moses' life work came out of his worship. This is the way you can find out what God wants you to do too. There's a lot of things that God wants you to do. We've talked about a few of them in these last 6 months. Are you doing them? Are you really doing them? Do you realize that the Word of God is living in that if we put it to active, if we make it part of our life, then we're actually living the Word of God. And that's where real power comes. That's where real abundant life comes, you see. And that's what God wants us to have. And God will bless the work that springs out of worship of God, you see. There's another place I'd like for you to go, if you would, and it's 1 Samuel. In 1 Samuel. Chapter number 3. I want you to notice a couple verses here. In 1 Samuel chapter number 3, notice what it says in verse number 4. That the Lord called Samuel and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I." I think I preached a message that part of this was in there. "For thou callest me." And he said, "I called not. Lie down again," and so forth. "Here am I." You see, Samuel was ready to wait on God. And that's one of the hardest things we learn to do, is wait on God. Because we feel that we have to be busy. But busyness isn't necessarily what God uses to get the job done. You see, I know here in Singapore, everybody walks fast. When you're queuing up for this escalator, everybody's wanting first place. When you're queuing up for food, everybody's wanting first place. Yeah, everybody's hungry, you know? But the sad thing is, when it comes to doing something for God, sometimes we're not queuing up. You know, and when they're asking for volunteers, sometimes we're not putting our hands up. Here am I. Here am I. To wait on God. We desire revival today, but in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, it says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." This means that we have to learn to wait on God. There's some great things that could be accomplished if we just learn to wait on the Lord and let Him work in our life. Another one's found in Isaiah. I'd like for us to go over there for a moment. The book of Isaiah. And notice what it says in chapter number 6. Isaiah chapter number 6. In verse number 1 it says, In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. And also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. So Isaiah was ready to witness for God. Today we desperately need a vision of the Lord upon his throne. Also the plight of the unsaved going out into eternity without Christ should be in that vision. We need to see their plight. Just think of what it would mean for every member to seek God's face for at least one soul a year. I mean, can you just imagine what that would do to Heritage Baptist Church? If each Christian in Heritage Baptist Church won just one soul a year to the Lord and saw that they were discipled and developed in the things of the Lord, it wouldn't take long. It would have a tremendous impact, you see. And when God said to him, Whom shall I send and who will go for us? Isaiah said, Here am I, send me. Isaiah was saying, I'm ready to witness for God. You know, Isaiah had real humility. In this passage, he said, Woe is me. I'm undone. And he was available because he said, Here am I. And he was mobile because he said, Send me. You see, in the missions course, we talked about how many missionaries we needed to have a missionary within the midst of every small group of people around the world. And that meant that we needed probably over 500,000 missionaries yesterday. Not today, yesterday. And that would be maybe 10,000 being preached to by one person. You see. So availability to witness is very important. And if there was ever a day that the churches of the Lord needed to reach the lost, it's today. Because the population is exploding in the world today. There's vastly more people in the world today than there were at the time Christ was on the earth. You see. And we have the best of transportation. We have the best of communication that's ever been in the world. And there's many countries where it's open and the gospel can be freely preached. And hardly anybody preaching the gospel in several countries around the world. Today! You see. And so there's a great need. May the Lord challenge us with His Word to do what He's commanded us to do. Matthew 28, 19 and 20 still in the Bible. It hasn't gone anywhere. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Proverbs 11:30 is a very good verse. It says, "He that winneth souls is wise." You want to be considered wise? Win people to Jesus Christ. Now, the world doesn't consider that wisdom, but God does. And of course, Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God." Many people have not believed simply because they have not heard a clear presentation of the word of God to really know what Jesus did for them. And then there's something else I want to leave with you before I finish here in just a few moments. I want you to realize, according to Isaiah chapter 58, notice if you go toward the back of the book here, Isaiah 58, and notice what the Bible says here in verse number 9. It says, "Then shall ye call, and the Lord shall answer, and thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke and the putting forth of the finger and the speaking vanity and so forth." But the first part of that verse is saying God is available for us. He's more available for us than we are for Him. Do you really realize that? He is. In Isaiah 59:1-2, it says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." You see. Matthew 11:28 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Romans 10:9 says, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." I have to praise the Lord daily that God is available to hear my cry. He's always on call 24/7. Well, I think we better be listening for His voice, right? And be ready to say, "Here am I. Here am I." We need to call upon Him and let Him know that you're available to do His will, to walk with Him, to worship Him, to wait on Him, to witness of His saving grace. We need to talk with the Lord about these things. And I just think that's one characteristic that we're going to need the Holy Spirit's help with. You agree? Oh, yeah. The other fruit of the Spirit, we need it, but I think there's one we really need it too, right here. It's not listed in those verses, but availability is what's keeping us back in doing God's will. He's calling. He's pleading. He wants us to be involved. It's not because He's holding us back. We're the ones. Maybe we're not listening to Him. Maybe we're not obedient. You see? I was trying to think of a song that went along with availability. I couldn't come up with one. But I will tell you something. We need to be available because He's available to us.